Broadway, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy coming in here just a little bit late. No fault of WWRB. It's our telephone system here in the area has been interfered with through some electrical storms, but we got Brother Arnold from Conyers, Georgia, our guest tonight, and we're ready to go. Brother Arnold, are you there?
What's left of me, I'm here.
All right. Well, praise Yahweh. We can hear you just fine. And we're going to start, Brother Arnold, tonight in part three of our message on the Creator, the times of the Lunar Sabbath. You know, Brother Arnold, we left off in part two a very interesting discussion that we were having in the beginning of creation. And let's bring the folks up to speed, because we've got several inquiries about the time process. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And Brother Arnold, let's go through that again, if you will, and lay the time schedule for the creation out, and then we'll talk about the Sabbath.
Okay. Odd you mentioned that. I was just talking to a brother the other day about this very same thing. Some people think that the creation account disproves lunar Sabbath because it says he rested on the seventh day, which we have no problem with that. We believe it with all our hearts that he worked 6 days and rested the seventh day. Now, I was telling this brother, I said, now this ain't where our strongest arguments is. Our strongest arguments is the scriptures themselves, where it says that the weekly Sabbath is a moed or appointment. Talking about worship appointment.
Mm-hmm.
It says the moon is for moeds, worship appointments. That's in Psalms 104, 19, and also in Genesis 1:14. If the Sabbath was very early in creation, then how to find it would have been very early in creation also.
That is correct.
And Genesis 1:14 says that he put these, he specifies two great lights, and that they would be for days and years, signs and signs is a beacon, and season is appointment. It's the word for moed, same as in Leviticus 23, where it says, the Heavenly Father said, these are my feasts. And he what he was talking about, his Sabbath day that comes after 6 work days. And in other words, they're holy convocation. And he uses the word feast there, and it's the same word as season in Genesis 1:14 and Psalms 104:19. It's moed. So anyhow, our strongest argument is that the Heavenly Father said that the moon is for his moeds, which the weekly Sabbath referred to there in Leviticus 23. Plus, every time you find a weekly moed or Sabbath in the Scripture, it's always on one of the major phases of the moon, like the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. But the brother didn't want to go there. He said, I just want you to show it to me here in creation. So I tried to explain to him that the scripture says that in the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's the first thing he done. Didn't take him no 6 days to do it. Where it says over there, for in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the word made is different than create. It's he fanced upon. In other words, he created heaven and earth, and then he worked on it for 6 days, and then he rested the seventh day, Brother Buddy. But that would have been the 8th thing that he'd done. In other words, created heaven and earth, worked on it for 6 days, rested the seventh day. Now, that's the seventh day of the week. Of course, mm-hmm. We believe it would be the 8th day of the month if that had been specified over there, which it does show that it was a yom. Yom in Hebrew is the word for day. It means a space of time. So there was a space of time before the 6 work days.
Okay.
Now, Ezekiel 46 and 1 and verse 3, 2 is real strong evidence that the Heavenly Father did not count the new moons as in with the 6 work days. Of course, we believe there's a new moon there in the beginning. And then if you'll look at Ezekiel 46, 1, it says the gates of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but open on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open. In other words, he's letting us know that the Sabbath and day of the new moon is not to be counted as one of the six working days. And this is what the people do today, since Julius Caesar in 46 B.C. introduced the strictly solar-only calendar. And the scripture clearly teaches that the moon is for appointments. Now remember, there's two great lights there in Genesis. And the greater light rules the day, the lesser light rules the night, of course, with the stars, it says.
Right.
Well, think about this. The greater light is for the appointments of your days and years. In other words, it'll beacon. You'll have a revolution at your equinox for your years, and you have a sun up and sun down, you know, for your days. So that's the sun's business. The moon can't, do that. The moon ain't for years and days, but the moon is for signs and seasons, because Psalms 104:19 said that that's what he appointed the moon for. In other words, you got two great lights. The sun's always referred in the masculine as he. The moon is always referred in the feminine as she.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahweh joined them together, he and she, but man has tried to unhook them and just let the sun be for days, years, signs of season. The moon, and you know, the moon don't do nothing except you, what they call your annual feast, but that's not the way it is. But anyhow, the moon beacons your appointments throughout the year, and it's talking about weekly appointments. You see, because in the beginning, he created heaven and earth. The only appointment there was the weekly appointment. And they said, well, Brother Arnold, he didn't make the moon till day four. Well, they don't say what phase it was in. If he made it on day four, the word made is the same word as appointed in Psalms 104:19. And I believe he did appoint the sun and the moon. So you can't say day four was the first day of the year, and you can't say it was the first day of the month. That's what they want to say, and then you had a Sabbath 3 days later.
Right.
Kill our doctrine, they say. But the scripture don't say what phase that moon was in on day four. Now, if he set it there on day four to beacon the Sabbath or Moed, well, your Moed's going to be 3 days later. It was still in plenty of time to beacon that Moed, Brother Buddy. So what I was trying to show the brother is Genesis don't disprove lunar Sabbath. He didn't want to go to Exodus or Leviticus or none of the other scriptures where you can show, you know, that the moon is for his weekly Sabbath. But anyhow, that's basically what brings up to that. And then, you know, we was talking about, I was trying to show them how that Pentecost proves lunar Sabbath in more ways than one, and the Septuagint, which was the early Christian Bible. In other words, they didn't have the English King James Bible. They didn't speak English. They you know, like in the crucifixion over the tree or the torture stake, it had in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin letters.
Mm-hmm.
These were languages, you know, that they had.
Right.
But most of the quotes from the New Testament, when they quote Old Testament scripture, came directly from the Septuagint. The apostles and early Christians, they used the Septuagint, and it teaches lunar Sabbaths. Might even get into that if you want to in a little bit. But creation account does not disprove lunar Sabbaths.
Right. Well, Brother Arnold, now you talked about three different category of days. You talked about category number one was a yom. You called it a yom. And if we can go back to the yom here, what would be that's days. And Ezekiel 4:6-1, you teach that the new moon are yoms or days, and then there's six working days, and then there is the Sabbath day. So you got a new moon day, you've got a six working day, and then you've got a Sabbath day. All these are called yoms in the Hebrew. And so then three different days that is identified in Yahweh's calendar, they have to be synchronized. Number one, to match his work days, to match his Sabbath days, to match his new moons. And the fourth one, Brother Arnold, that's very interesting, that synchronizes in on the lunar count, is exactly in the Feast of Passover, which is always on the 15th day. Well, we know that the Passover is on the 14th, but the feast is on the 15th, unleavened bread. And so it is with tabernacles. Tabernacles always begins on a full moon, the 15th, and these synchronize right into the Sabbath days, Brother Arnold, and they're called High Holy, although they're regular weekly Sabbath days. They are also the feast days, and I think that's very, very important in trying to get people to understand the times here.
Absolutely. You know, the Messiah over there in his crucifixion week, that it said the Sabbath drew on.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the weekly Sabbath. And it said that Sabbath day was a high day. In other words, that weekly Sabbath day was a high day. Why? Because it's the first day of unleavened bread.
Right.
In other words, it's like two Sabbaths in one there. And you know, this, people don't understand that. Well, they can say, well, it just happened to fall on there, or whatever they want to, but you cannot find the traditional weekly Sabbath nowhere in Scripture. Even over there in Numbers, when it names 8 days and what was offered on each day, it said the first day, talking about the 15th, it named all the tabernacles. It said that it was a holy convocation. Then it named the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh day, told what was offered each day, and then it said in the 8 days of holy convocation. If they was a traditional weekly Sabbath, like people's keeping the day floating back and forth in there, it could have been mentioned, but it wasn't. And it's just like a phantom Sabbath. It's just something, it's a figment of people's imaginations. It's a tradition. It's been taught. But this is why we can offer a $10,000 reward, Brother Buddy, for anybody that can produce one single scripture, I'm talking about, that can be intelligently argued against, where there was a weekly Sabbath that wasn't on one of them four major phases of the moon. The 8th day of the moon, the 15th day of the moon, the 22nd day of the moon, and the 29th day of the moon. Now, we got pinpointed weekly Sabbaths that can't be intelligently argued against. It's on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
When the Sabbath was first made known to Moshe, or Moses, in the 16th chapter of Exodus, it teaches that he spoke to him on the 15th day. He said, I've heard the murmur of the children. Now, this is in the second month after they come out of Egypt. I can show you where they left, was driven out on the Sabbath, too, on the 15th. So you can't have two Sabbaths in a row on the 15th day of the month unless they're lunar Sabbaths. It's impossible because the new moon coming in there will throw it back a day. Well, when you look in Exodus 16, he said he spoke to them on the 15th. He said, when it gets evening, see, he ain't going to give them no quail on the Sabbath.
Okay.
So when it gets evening, which ends the 15th day, we believe from evening to evening is the Sabbath, the day to keep your Sabbath. He gave them quail. And he said in the morning, talking about the same morning of the same day, which would be the 16th day, the 16th ended, he gave them manna for 6 days. So that would be the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21. That's the 6 days of manna, six working days. He said, you won't find it the next day, Moses. That's the Holy Shabbat, the Holy Sabbath, which would be on the 22nd. Now, if the 22nd was a Sabbath, counting on forward, the 29th would be one, because you'd have 22nd, 23rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 29th would be a Sabbath. But if you count back the other way from the 15th, then the 8th day of that month would have been a Sabbath. And then you count back again, you'll see that the new moon wasn't counted when counting out the weeks. The second day of the month would be the first day of the week. And, you know, of course, the 16th would be the first day of the week after the 15th. And that's just the way it is in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how people, and if we do get on the Septuagint and on the Pentecost, it's amazing how people, what it is, they don't want to listen to search and see what the truth of the matter is. What they do, they draw a conclusion without hearing the facts. The Bible talks about the ancient of matter before you hear it. You got people, and you know some these guys, I hate to name names, but they write books and articles and things. And I don't mind Paul name names. He said that coppersmith caused me much problem, and Theophilus and all these guys. He said they won't only receive us, but they put them out of the church that would receive us. somebody's got an email.
Yeah.
But anyhow, you know, it's amazing how these guys that get in the corner and say all this stuff, but they won't come on here and discuss it and openly, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints and see who's got the truth on the matter.
Amen. Amen.
You know, truth has no fear of open debate, and truth is not afraid of close scrutiny.
Well, what are our? I mean, you know, we've got these people. Let me read you just a typical letter, Brother Arnold, that we got from a wonderful sister. She lives down in the middle of the state here in Tennessee, and she's a very sincere seeker, and she is a Saturday keeper, or she was. And just let me read it a little bit without telling people her name, unless she didn't give me authorization. But I want to read you a question, and I think maybe that you'll have an answer for it. Dear Pastor Buddy, thank Yahweh for opening the scriptures on Sabbath. How do you keep the Sabbath? Or better yet, how does it keep you? It is a worship day. Yet we are to worship Yahweh daily. No travel, no buying or selling. I have been keeping, listen to this, Brother Arnold, this is a typical Sabbath keeper. You mentioned last Friday night that me and you both were devout Saturday keepers. We went through the Sunday, we was raised up as Christians, and then we went through the Sunday, and then we got into the Sabbath on the seventh day. And Brother Arnold, at that time, that was our only choice. And this is this sister's case. I have been keeping Saturday as a Sabbath since 86. I traveled to hear a preacher and either went back home and took a nap or searched the scriptures or even took a little walk. What is one to do on the Sabbath, Shabbat, to really honor Yahweh on that day? And on the 29th Sabbath, if the moon continues dark for 2 days. Now, here's her question. She's wanting to know, like at the end of the month, on the 29th, that's the last Sabbath in the month on the lunar. Now, we know that the new moon will come in either 1 or 2 days after that. So how does one observe those dark days? And she has a question. As Sabbaths? Well, Brother Arnold, I think you've got a very good answer for that. Why don't you respond to that question?
Well, first of all, let me say this. When she said something about, you know, the worship days, keeping the Sabbath is a worship day, but she keeps every day holy or something to that effect. I've had people to tell me, you know, just even when I used to keep Saturday Sabbath for Friday evenings and Saturday evening for many years, and they said, well, we keep every day holy. I said, well, first of all, you can't keep something holy that he didn't make holy. You might live holy every day, and I believe we should, but you can't keep a day holy. He only made the Sabbath day holy.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you can't keep something holy he didn't make holy. But now, as far as the new moon, every other month, approximately every other month, you'll have like a 2 day if the conjunction are revealed and the new moon starts to reveal and it splits them like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go around to the next day, you'll have like the 29th, and then you'll have the 30th that the conjunction happened in, but it started in the old month, so we run that day out. Now, I'll tell you how we do it here. Some of the people at our assembly, they'll take that day in between there, and even some of the Jewish people, they have a 1 and 2 day new moon, some, you know, every other month.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. Now, Brother Matthew, myself, and other people at our assembly, we take both of them days. Just like Jonathan and David, they said, tomorrow's the new moon, I'll wait here to the third day. It looked like they kept both of them days there, the first and second day of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what we do. We take both of the days. We don't fault those that just take the new moon day. That would put them a day in between there. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
But now, I just don't know for sure how to, if I've answered that or not, or how to answer it. A lot of people, a lot of preachers, they're afraid to say they don't know something. If I don't know, I just say, I don't know. Shoot, let's find out.
Amen. Let's
want to know the truth.
Let's dig till we find out the answer to the question, correct?
Right. But, you know, out of the abundance of caution, I would say this, you know, keep them both, all three of them, because you can have a three-day intermission there. And what we do is keep the 29th, the 30th, and the new moon day. And then, you know, after the new moon day, naturally your first day of the week or the six working days begins again. And I was going to mention that a while ago about the Genesis account. See, we believe there was we can't say it was a new moon because that means to reveal, but we believe there was a moon there, and it commemorated, the new moon commemorates creation. And the weekly Sabbath commemorates his rest after working on his creation for 6 days, is what we believe. Well, between the creation day that he created heaven and earth, you got six work days, and he rested the seventh. He ain't trying to tell us there necessarily how many days there were in creation. It's just telling what happened, that he created heaven and earth. All the water and all was here. Remember, the Spirit of Yahweh moved on the face of the water and said, let there be light.
Right.
See, heaven and earth was created before he said, let there be light, and divided it from the darkness, which, you know, light he called day and the darkness he called night, which means twisting the way of the light. And that evening and morning was your first day or first work day, but you still had something of creation of heaven and earth. And then when he rested the seventh day, the moon would be in an eight-day phase, just like it is everywhere in the Scriptures. It's what we're looking at. But, you know, if somebody can show us where we're wrong, then, you know, we'll either change or show you where it's right, because it don't matter to us.
Well, that's true. I mean, we want truth. And what you're saying is, Brother Arnold, there has, in order to keep... let's say we go to the 29th day of the month, and that's a Sabbath day, correct?
Right.
Every 29th day is a Sabbath. Now,
right.
As you say, the new moon, let's say it's going to come in like the day after the 29th, which would be the 31st, or the first day of the next month. That would be a new moon day. So there has to be a continuous six working days before you can keep a Sabbath, because you've got to work 6 days before you can keep one.
Exactly right. That's what the definition in case law in Genesis, that's what a definition of a Sabbath day rest is. You can't have you work 6 days and rest the seventh. Now listen to what one of the major problems that the traditional Saturday keepers have is the Bible clearly says you have 6 days in which to labor and do all your work, but the seventh is their rest. Well, once a month, when the new moon day rolls around, see, they count it, they don't do like Yahweh said to do in Ezekiel, count it as a worship day and not one of the six work days.
Right.
They insist that they're going to count that as one of the six work days, and it throws them off. But if the merchants that, you know, buy and sell for a living, the Scripture clearly teaches over in Amos there, they was these merchants, these greedy merchants were saying, when will the new moon be gone that we can buy corn and the Sabbath that we can set forth wheat? In other words, it was a day of no buying and selling. It was a worship day. So these merchants would not have 6 days to labor and do all their work once every month on the first day of the month. So that, therefore, it would contradict the Scripture when he clearly said you would. Everybody else would, but they wouldn't. And I don't know that everybody else would. You can't buy or sell on the day.
That's correct.
So, you know, we do find where they traveled and done other things on the new moon and numbered Israel. Moses ripped the tabernacle, things like that. It's not a strict no work day like a weekly Sabbath. Some people, they create a straw man. They say, well, them lunar Sabbath people, we like to call ourselves creation Sabbath people, but they say they got a new moon on the Sabbath. They got five Sabbaths a month, stuff like that. And then they attack it and show them where they traveled on the new moon and stuff. They just build a straw man and attack it and say, and then they think they disproved lunar Sabbath. Well, we don't claim the new moon. We claim it's a worship day, but we don't claim it is a weekly Sabbath or a Sabbath. We just claim it's a worship day. And therefore, you're not out there working, just like the little lady she brought and went out and told a husband in the field, told the servants to saddle Ash, said that she, her son had died, and they were going to see the man of Yahweh. And her husband said, why go today? It's neither new moon or Sabbath. In other words, they thought he wouldn't be there. They was out in the field working. So new moons and Sabbaths is not one of the six work days according to Scripture.
That's correct. And it's also according to the basis of, you've mentioned this a couple of times there in Ezekiel chapter 46. There was a new moon, and then there was a six working days that the gates were shut. The new moon, they opened. In other words, they received worship. Yahweh received worship because the gate was open, and any time that gate was open, they were to worship Him. So they came on the new moons, and we know that in Exodus chapter 40, where you gave us the example here, that Moses came on that day, and they reared up the tabernacle on that day. Now, my question to you is this. All right, if there's no servile work to be done, according to Numbers 29:1, and some would argue, well, that's just... I read some example of a fellow that's on the Internet, and he was knocking the Lunar Sabbath, and he said, well, yeah, we agree that the Lunar Sabbath people are correct, that there's only one day in the Bible that they were commanded not to work on a new moon. Otherwise, he said, we could work and do anything else. In other words, we didn't even have to claim it as a time of holiness. That was Numbers 29:1, where he said that no servile work will be done, and that was concerning the new moon of the seventh month. Well, Brother Arnold, that's not what the Scripture says, and he just took and built a straw man around that one verse of Scripture, and then he excluded the other 11 new moons out of the year by saying it wasn't effective. Now, I want to ask you a question, Brother Arnold. Let's go back to the solar application. Now, we've got people that believe in the solar calendar. And you mentioned a while ago, you used that word solar calendar. Let's discuss the solar people. Now, we've talked about the Gregorian, that's the Saturday people, and that they use the Gregorian calendar, which is fixed upon a number of conditions that are factored into the mathematical equations of the Gregorian calendar. Now, we know that they're not biblical, and we know that there's no scripture basis for the Gregorian calendar, and you mentioned Julius Caesar, I believe, and you also mentioned Pope Gregory in the 13th century when he changed it and they modified it to the present-day calendar now, the Gregorian. And Brother Arnold, everybody's got one hanging in their homes, and they go by this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 day count, and they exclude the new moon. They exclude the holy days. Matter of fact, you brought up a point that even the 10th day was a holy day. Well, they don't factor none of those in there as holy, but yet they keep the atonement day. Some of these people do. And some people, Brother Arnold, even keep the new moon, and they're still Saturday keepers. Now, can you explain to me the difference that we've got here between the solar application, which is a teaching, you know, it's a teaching. What's wrong with the solar teaching, first of all, and then we'll get into the Gregorian.
Well, Exodus 6:16 knocks them both in the head. It's false doctrine. What happened, you had a Sabbath on the 15th day of the first month. Deuteronomy 5th chapter teaches, and he said, therefore, remember the Sabbath day. He said, for Yahweh brought you out of the land of Egypt. That was on that weekly Sabbath. They were driven out, of course, delivered from Egypt bondage on the 15th day. But then you got a pinpointed weekly Sabbath on the 15th day again in the second month. And in order to do that, that kills the lunar, traditional Sabbath, Saturday Sabbath, and it also kills the solar Sabbath people because, see, they begin... rightly began the Sabbath on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th in the first month, you know, when they left Egypt and they were fine. Well,
right.
Then in the second month, you got it again, but they have it like on the 14th, because see, when your new moon day comes in there, they count it as a work day instead of, like Ezekiel teaches, and Yahweh teaches there in Ezekiel, it's not to be counted with the six work days. So therefore, it throws them off, and it disproves their doctrine. And I forgot what was the other part of the question
there. Okay, now you've covered the error of the solar. In other words, what you're telling me is, let's go back and establish the fact of how that the solar people establish the first day of the year. They go by what we call the spring equinox. Just like we do, we determine that the first day of the year is determined by the spring equinox. And the difference is, the solar people take the next day after the equinox, and the lunar folks like ourselves, we wait for that first new moon after the equinox.
Well, now they got solar months. Their months is just 1 through 30, I think it is.
1 through 30.
Yeah, see, we believe that he said let them talk about the sun and the moon, or the greater light and lesser light. They said, well, moon ain't even mentioned there. Well, sun ain't mentioned there either.
That's correct.
But it's verified in other scriptures that he was talking about the sun and the moon,
mm-hmm.
and they come up with all kind of crazy stuff that they don't think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they got just strictly solar months, and they just count. So on their Sabbath in the first month is on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. Because, see, the first day of their solar year is day one. And then they, when they get through counting, that, you know, I'm not for sure exactly how to do it. Brother Russ, I've studied it, looked at it, it's been years. But I showed a couple of solar-only people, instead
mm-hmm.
of using the sun and the moon,
mm-hmm.
how that their calendar won't work because of Exodus 16, because you got a pinpoint of Sabbath there. So it messes them up, and it messes the traditional Sabbath people up, because you can't have a Sabbath on the 15th day of the moon twice in a row. And I was showing you, talking about that Roman pagan calendar a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this, buddy. If they didn't get it right when the year begins and ends, they got it beginning the dead of winter instead of the biblical year, springtime. And then, if they didn't get it right on the month, they just got an artificial count for a month, 30, 31 days. So if they ain't got that right when it begins and ends in their year, and then their day, they got it beginning 12 midnight, so nothing in nature supporting that, instead of, you know, evening to evening.
Correct.
Well, what makes you think if they ain't got the year, the month, and the day right on it, they don't have the weekly Sabbath right on it?
Well, that's a good question, Brother Arnold. And you know, you made a mention about the solar, and I'd like to come back to it, because I've had several people ask me, since that we've been on this subject for the last week, about the difference between the lunar and the solar. The solar people only, now, they just take the sun and use it as a timepiece, and then they discard the moon, as you say. They say it's useless. Matter of fact, they don't. They're bumfuzzled about why that the moon is even up in the sky. As far as they're concerned, you know, you could take it out and they never miss it because of their system. But by dividing the year, now there's no equal way. There's no calendar on the earth that can be divided into equalization and come out with a correct count without staggering the days or adding days or things of this nature. So it's a dilemma, a mathematical dilemma, of 365 and a quarter. And yet, they divide seven into the system of the mathematics, and then they use the solar by saying, okay, you can get 360, 4 days by doing, I believe you said, a 30-day count. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think they have 30-day months.
Okay. Well, now, what about the extra time here, Arnold? And I know their version, but I want you to deal with the time principle here, because that's not correct. 364 days will not get the job done, because you're still 1 day and 1 quarter. Now, I know one of our brothers
who's a good friend of both of us, and we admire him and admire his stand because he's adamant, and he really defends the solar. And maybe sometime in the future we could get him to come on and explain his calendar. But the question that begs to be answered here, what about that day? And I know they say that day is a sign day, but what about that quarter of a day, Arnold? Would it add up over
the... Well, not only the quarter day, then you got so many minutes and seconds. It just won't work, brother buddy.
Okay.
What people is not realizing, and it's easy to find out, that the weeks were originally by the phases of the moon. You can check history on it. You can go back. Even the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia admitted it. You got a guy in there named Cohen, the director of the research,
mm-hmm.
and he tells you, see, all they know is the week that we have today, 1 through 7, 1 through 7, and they say the cycle can't be broken. Stuff like that. But the new moon breaks it, because at the 29th day, the last Sabbath of the month, he said, leave them gates open, boys. He said, leave them open for the new moon, too, you know. He said, leave them open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. And that, see, then your 6 work days would begin between the new moon and the next Sabbath.
Gotcha.
So actually, the Sabbath, that put it on the 8th day of the month, but it'd be the 7th day of the week. See, you got days, but dates, all dates are from the moon, like they left the wilderness there after camping around the mountain for a year.
Mm-hmm.
On the 20th day of the second year, on the 20th day of the month, or second month, but the 20th day, that's a date. Just like the 15th day in the first month, that's a date, but it's also the 7th day of the week. And their 7th day of the week, the way it floats, can fall on it too, you know.
I got you. Right. I agree.
They just, I don't know, it baffles me to, you ask me to play explain all of these different ones. It's like this guy who was a treasure agent, and they told him, said there's so many different counterfeit bills to try to study them all. What they done, they just taught him how to identify the real, they said. And once they know the real, how it feels, smell, and then a counterfeit would stand out when they come across it. So if we know the scripture and the real true word of God, and when some counterfeit comes, you know, we can spot it. It'd be crazy to try to learn all these religions they got going today. But if we just learn the truth of Yahweh's word, then when something comes up that it don't ring true, it'll just send up a red flag, brother buddy. But these calendars that they're coming up with, it just won't harmonize with the scripture.
Well, that's true, because as you said, the synchronization, biblically speaking, and you know, Brother Arnold, why do we have to defend the Bible? Against these people that says, okay, well, we don't worship on the new moon, and they say that the word moon don't really exist there. It's something else, and they try to sweep it under the rug. But after the Sabbath was observed on the 8th space of time, and you write this in your article, and by the way, you've got a great article here that you're writing on and adding to, and it begins with the creation in the very beginning of time, and you talked about the Sabbath being observed on the 8th day of the time. Well, we know that the Earth orbits the galaxy in a figure eight pattern through the photon belt, approximately every 10 to 12,000 years, repolarizing the energies of Earth and rebooting the consciousness of mankind in profound ways. Thus, the 8th day is a Sabbath pattern from the creation of days as Earth orbits a galaxy in, get this, Brother Arnold, and I found this very intriguing, in the sine wave diagram of long-term history. You talk about the precession of the equinox. Well, we know that in the time through the precession, as it moves through the universe, that science will tell us that, let's say that we start out in Virgo. Remember, the Bible talked about a sign in the heavens, and this is the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. It talked about the sun and the moon. And I believe the sun was over her head, and she was standing on the moon. Her feet was connected to the moon, and her head was touching the sun. It was over her head. So we have, that's the figure of Virgo, the virgin that's mentioned in the scriptures. Well, the Bible does identify these signs in the heavens, and of course the second would be Libra and Scorpio and Sagittarius and Capricorn and Aquarius and all these things. But as it goes through the universe, it really turns into a figure eight, because when it starts, it comes back to its very beginning, and that's approximately every 25,000 years that this happens. And so the Father has set the whole time system up on the number eight. And it's amazing how that this was hidden from us and taken away from us, or we lost the count process. And I'm fascinated about the time that you went back here and you figured out this Yom and the special 3 days. Now, let me read a paragraph of your article, Brother Arnold. You say, "I believe that the sun and the moon was a part of the heavens in the day that they were created, but it does not say what position that the sun was in when he said, 'Let there be light.' I believe that the light came on just below the horizon in the west, and then you had 12 hours of evening, and the sun came up in the east, and you had 12 hours of the morning, which would be a total of 24 hours. Most people agree that there was a space of time in creation before he said, 'Let there be light.' Some think that in terms of 1,000 years, some 1,000,000 years, and some millions of years, and others believe that there was 12 hours. At any rate, they all agree that there was a time space, a yom space, between before the six-day workday began." Now, could you elaborate on that statement that you made there, Brother Arnold?
Yeah, that would put the moon in an eight-day phase. But first, let me say, I read that thing you posted about the figure eight. I can't speak to that because I'm not familiar with that. I'm sort of a simple person when it comes to that. Now, this I can understand. When he said that the moon is for Moed and the weekly Sabbath for Moed, you know, that I, you know, it don't, anybody with two brains can figure that out. So if you just don't try to fight it, you know what I'm saying?
Correct.
And so what you're talking about there, we about the sun, see, like you said there, it don't say what position that sun, but when he said, "Let there be light," if you look at that word light, it's luminaries. I've had people say, "Well, that light was Yahweh or his son or something like that," but no, because if it was, then you read on down, he give the sun to rule over that light. The sun don't rule over Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth. That light, when he said, "Let there be light," it says luminaries. It's the Hebrew's or. So you had these lights come on. Even Rashi, the Hebrew scholar, way back under, said you had evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning, 3 days before day four. So the a lot of people try to say the sun and moon was created on day four, and it don't say it was created there. It said it was made to rule the day and night and give light on the earth and be for appointments or seasons. But anyhow, I believe that they, we think of the light rising in the east, setting in the west. And we believe when the sun sets in the west and goes down below the horizon, the light that he called day goes away, and we believe a 24-hour day ends. So when he said, "Let there be light," I believe the light came on over there below the horizon there, ending the new moon day there in creation. I say new moon day, the creation day when he created heaven and earth. And then when he divided that light from the darkness, the light he called day and the darkness he called night, that word night means twisting away of the light. So there wasn't no twisting away of the light until the first work day.
Gotcha.
So when the light went on around for 12 hours of twisting away, you had 12 hours of evening, and it come up in the morning. The word Voltaire, whatever the word there is, it came up, and it's light, it's morning plus day. So then you had 12 hours of evening, 12 hours of morning, and that evening, that morning, was the first work day. But you still have a space of time, Yom, which was later called New Moon. And that's why when we celebrate our new moons in the beginning of the month, like in Numbers, it said in the Bereshit of your month, well, over there, same word over there, Genesis, where it said in the Bereshit of beginning, and that's when the dark, when everything was dark.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it says in the Bereshit of your month, talking about the Sabbath and the Bereshit or beginning of your month, this was commemorating his creation when the angels and all them shouted, when he stretched forth the heavens alone. And I'm talking about the Holy One of Israel. I think there's three. If I don't talk about the Holy Three, it's the Holy One of Israel stretched forth the heavens alone by himself.
Amen.
The angel shouted and plowed his handiwork there. And that commemorates, New Moon commemorates that every month we commemorate the creation. It's not a strict no work day there, but then you work 6 days and rest the Sabbath. It's a worship day. The angels worshiped on that day. And then we rest the seventh day. And that commemorates his rest. And we're to be imitators of him, Brother Bud. We're to imitate him. Work when he said work, worship when he said worship. And like I pointed out in our first series, I think it was, how that if you'll go over to Leviticus 23 and follow them instructions, forget every calendar of what I said or anybody else said, and follow them instructions, your Sabbaths will be through the whole year on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. You say, well, how's that, Brother Arnold? Go over there and do it. Just go over there and follow them instructions.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
challenge everybody out there to do that. Like, let's start with the seventh month, because there's a lot of pinpointed worship days there. And let's say we had a contract and we're going to work for somebody, and he's going to give us these days off that's in our contract, and he's going to give them off with pay for worship, and we don't have to work. And he tells us, he said, look, you'll never have to work over 6 days in a row. Let's say you're working for a union or something.
Okay.
At a 6 days in a row work, you've got a rest coming automatically, plus any other days that's in this contract. So we look at the contract, and starting the seventh month, we got a worship day right here, no work day. With pay. So we take that day off, first day of the seventh month. We take it off.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in our contract. We got to work the next 6 days. So we'll work the second day of the month, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh day of the month, but that's 6 days.
That's six days. Work days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got our contracts. He told us we don't have to work on 6 days, so we'll rest on the eighth day.
Correct.
All right, now this is straight out of Leviticus. All right, and then we got to go to work the next day on the ninth, right? But look here, our contract says we don't have to work on the tenth day of the seventh month, so we take that day off, right?
Correct.
All right, and then we work four more days. We work 11, 12, 13, 14. But wait a minute. Here it says in our contract we can take the 15th off in the seventh month. It ain't a seventh day rest. It's a fifth day rest because we work 4 days. Now we're going to have a fifth day rest. So we take the 15th off. Then we work the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 21. Wait a minute. It says right here we got the 22nd off. It says the 8th day from the 15th. So now we got the 22nd off, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, ain't nothing in our contract, so we got to go back to work. We'll work the 23rd, the 4th, the 5th, 26th, 27th, 28th. But wait a minute, 29th's coming up. Well, he said we wouldn't know how to work over 6 days, so we take the 29th day off. But he also said we wouldn't have to work the new moons.
That's what he said.
The new moon now, we take that off. Now we got to start back to work again. One on the second day of the month. That'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll rest the seventh day, and it'll be the eighth day of that month. And it'll go through the whole year. And just by simply following them instructions,
it's an eighth. What you're saying is it's an eighth day phase of the seventh day in the week of even in creation, which is typical of the pattern that he laid out for us to follow later on. In other words, what you're saying is, and what I see here, is that we go back to the very beginning of the creation. And everything before that day, which we're talking about the evening and the night, that started the day process. And that's the first work day. There was an evening and there was a morning. So that began a work process. But everything before that, Brother Arnold, was simply referred to as darkness.
That's right.
Darkness was...
You didn't have night until you had the twisting away of the light.
There you go. And so then the same pattern that you just outlined right there in the example of, again, we keep referring to our pattern example of the book of Ezekiel chapter 46 verse 1. And the pattern is laid down in simplicity, Brother Arnold, and this is the most simplest plan. It's so complicated because of its simplicity.
Some things is hidden in simplicity, you know.
Brother Arnold, we've got, now, Brother Dave has graciously given us another 30 minutes here, so we've got plenty of time here tonight since we got a late start due to the storms up here knocking our power down and we couldn't get on. But since we've got on, Dave has extended our time to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So let's go back to the point that the night that was produced, as you say, by the twisting away of the light, it produced a darkness that you can still see in because of the stars. Now, expound a little bit on that, Brother Arnold.
Well, when he first created heaven and earth, he would have been the only one able to see in that darkness, because it's impossible for any human or anybody other than him to see if you have no stars, no light whatsoever, just a darkness that is just dark. It's just it's impossible to see. You couldn't see anything. So that was the darkness there that was here when he created heaven and earth. But then when he said, let there be light, and it came on over there at the ending of the day, And then he saw it was good and divided it from the darkness that was here. You know, when heaven and earth was created, it produced a twisting away, and the light he called day, and the twisting away part he called night, and then the evening, talking about the night, or twisting away for 12 hours, and the morning when it come up, was the first day. But that day there, I know that, you know, people say, well, night, that's darkness. Well, true, but it ain't darkness like that darkness was that before there was any light and stars and all in the heavens. It's just you could still see when it gets dark here. You go out in the dark even when the moon ain't even on, the new moon, the moon ain't even out, you can see because you still got some reflected light from the stars even
that
way
is,
in the country
and that's but exactly what the Bible says.
At creation you wouldn't have been able to see.
It would have been complete darkness with no light representing anywhere.
Just like in Egypt, they started, it was so dark that it could be felt, you know. You could cut it with a knife, so to speak. It was just so dark that people didn't even move out of the place. If it was dark in creation right now, you'd be afraid to even move, afraid you'd be stepping off in a big hole or something. It'd be so dark, you couldn't see nothing.
That is true. That is so true.
But now the light, the twisting away of the light left the night. Now you can see in the night, because it's not that creation darkness, you know.
Gotcha. And so you're saying that
that's just least my view. It don't have to be the answer, it's just a answer.
Well, let's expound on it just a little bit more, because it's a very deep subject, and a lot of people need this understanding to the creation factor. And you're saying that the creation factor is the overlay of the perfect example of the calendar system of the lunar. When you follow it and you keep the new moons. Now let's go to the new moon. Darkness or space of time represented a new moon day, correct?
Right, yeah.
All right. So if we go back to a new moon, we know a new moon is completely dark. In other words, you can't see any light in the globe.
That's right. That's when the light goes away of the old moon and that split second starts to rebuild, and that's when the new moon, you can't see anything.
All right. Now let me go to a scripture here in Amos 8 and 5. There was a complaint registered against the prophets, and particularly against Yahweh, because he was the one that commanded them to rest on the new moon. And they bemoaned the commandment. They made this statement, Brother Arnold, and I want you to expound on it, why that they would have made such a statement. And they said, when will the new moon be gone? That means that it was just one day sometimes. That if there's a Sabbath fell on the 29th, they would have had no work and no buying on that day. And then let's say that the 30th would have been a a day between that and the new moon coming in. So that would have been 3 days. And there is an example that we have discussed again in Acts 17, verse 2, where it says that Paul went in and reasoned with the house of Judah for 3 Sabbath days. And I believe that that is indicative that they were waiting on the moon to change. Now, they said, when will the new moon be gone? What were they complaining about, Arnold?
I believe it's this greedy merchants couldn't hardly wait to get their wares on the market there where they could, you know, cheat the people there. And like you said, the 3 Sabbath days, there's another place there in John where it says the second Sabbath after the first, they went through the cornfield and plucked corn.
That's 6 in 1 Luke.
Yeah, and I believe that was a 2 day. It was a Sabbath that followed with the new moon.
I do too.
And they were calling them Sabbaths, because I don't call them Sabbath. It confused the people, but I believe Sabbath is just the word for intermission.
I had
a couple of intermissions there. The reason I believe that was a new moon day is because of this. Now listen, it said the second Sabbath after the first was when they done it, right?
Okay, right.
All right. Well, he said, well, have you not read what David done? I believe talking about on the new moon day, on that same time, when he went and ate the show bread that was not lawful. And here these guys, you know, just plucking some corn.
Mm-hmm.
It's no more than peeling a banana on the Sabbath, you know. And they ate it. They said, but did you read what David done when he went in and it was unlawful for, you know, anybody except the priest?
Right.
And he was blameless.
Right.
And then he went ahead and explained to them how that man wasn't, he didn't make man so there'd be somebody here to keep the Sabbath, but he made man and then he made the Sabbath for man.
Amen.
In other words, we're masters of the Sabbath. He said, therefore, Son of Man is master also of the Sabbath. He's talking about his disciples, because that's who he was murmuring against.
Mm-hmm.
Not himself as the Son of Man, but the Son of Man. The mankind was master of the Sabbath. It was made for man. Well, anyhow, back to David, if you look over there at the count, you'll find out that it was, he said, I'll wait here to tomorrow's the new moon. I'll wait here to the third day. So on the third day, if you know the story, he went over there, and he fled and went over to the temple. Well, this third day would have been that first day of the new moon.
There you go.
And then it's when they ate the showbread. He said he'd come out, and of course, he lied to the priest there, you know, David did, and he was trying to keep him, I guess, so knowing that they might cause him problems. So
mm-hmm.
He said the king sent us. So that way that priest would have something to say, but anyhow, they killed him anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But Doeg, the Edomite, was over there, and it was Saul's chief herdman. You know, if it had been any old herdman, it wouldn't have mattered, but if it was Saul's chief herdman, he has to report to Saul, and he's going to say, I saw David over there at the temple on the new moon day.
On the new moon day, that's exactly what it said.
He said, you see, you know what David done on the new moon day, eat the showbread, and here you are complaining about my disciples plucking some corn, and you know they was going through the cornfield, and the Torah says that you can just don't put none, put a sickle to it, put none in the bag, but you can eat from another man's cornfield as long as you don't, you know, reap his harvest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that was a new moon day, but the bottom line, it said on the second Sabbath day of the first. So that shows there was a Sabbath and then a new moon day.
It most certainly does.
Just like Ezekiel said, you let the gates be open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon.
All right, now going back, Arnold, to overlay this as a pattern, you've established the fact that the space of time of darkness, which was with absolutely no light at all, and this is typically turned into what is represented today as a pattern as the new moon, which is completely darkness in the globe, and which is not counted when counting the 6 working days, correct?
Right, absolutely. And this is what the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia says. And I didn't know this, because just here a while back, but this is the way they said they used to do it, but, you know, they don't do it that way now.
All right, now that space of time, which was here before the 6 workdays, would cause the moon to beacon on an 8-day phase on the 7th day of the week of creation. In other words,
absolutely.
It would fall right in the 8th day. And, Brother Arnold, you
and
know, we...
in harmony with every one of the scriptures when you find it in the scripture, too. But go ahead.
And, you know, we haven't, you know, as much as we've taught about this on this subject, we haven't even read one scripture that I can remember that is signifying the eighth day in the biblical accounts, and that would be something that maybe Wednesday night coming up, that we could get into the history of the eighth day and the examples in the Bible. And Brother Arnold, we're speaking here from examples. We're not speaking something that theory that man has made up. No Caesar, be it Caesar Augustus, or be it Pope Gregory, or be it some other factor, international dateline, or as the solar people like to say, a sign day. We're giving biblical examples here.
Well,
that,
but the key to the thing is, if people don't realize, the only week they know is counting 1 through 7 over and over again, like a hamster in a cage type thing, and there's no scripture for it. But they don't realize that this is a fairly new week that they've come up with, 46 B.C. But before that, the only weeks they had was by the moon. All of the scholars and historians agree to it. It's all people's got to do is look up week. The ones that don't agree, you know what they say? Well, we believe the week goes back to creation. Well, we do too.
Well, of course we do. And we're explaining it right here, except it's beyond their reasoning because they can't see. I mean, they look at day one. Now, day one was the first day that there was an evening and a morning.
I want to get on the Pentecost whenever you get on to that, because if people can't see it in Pentecost, it conclusively proves that they were keeping Lunar Sabbath, early Christians, and at the time of the Messiah, and Philo that lived at that time, and the Septuagint, it's just irrefutable.
All right, so the creation calendar would look like this. Now, let's simplify it for everybody, because I know this is a complicated matter, because it is actually a new thought for most of our listeners here tonight. The first space of time would be the beginning when heaven and earth was created, correct?
That's absolutely.
All right, the second space of time would be the first work day on
right.
the 6 work days when he said, let there be light, and he divided it, correct?
Right.
All right, and the third space of time would be the second day, the fourth space of time would be the third working day, and the fifth space would be the fourth working day, and the sixth space would be the fifth working day, and the seventh space would be the sixth working days. That's the seventh day that everybody takes for a rest day back there. Mm-hmm. And yet, the eighth space of time would be the seventh Yom Sabbath after working on his creation for 6 days. And it's a pattern, Brother Arnold, that fits right on the example after example after example. And you know the little booklet that you've got written on proof that the weekly Sabbath days are determined by the moon. There's over 80 references, and you certainly didn't cover them all because there's more in there. But 80 references that would give you the examples of the overlays and the patterns that Yahweh's established for us to go by. Now, if we love him, the fourth commandment is this: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, that takes us right back to Genesis 2:2, where the space of time was in complete darkness, correct?
Right.
All right. And then the first space of time would be the first 6 day working examples. That'd be the second, because the first day would be counted like we pattern it today as a new moon. You don't count that, so it's an unworked day.
Yeah, right. It's a worship day when he created heaven and earth. If you picture in your mind, Brother Buddy, picture a creation day. That's one event right there. That's one sequence of events. Then picture 6 work days or working days in between that creation day and the rest day. So you got your creation day, 6 working days, and then the Sabbath day rest that he rested. And that's exactly what you find every place in the scripture. That's exactly what Ezekiel was talking about, exactly what Moses saw, exactly what we're seeing, and that's exactly what happened. And the weeks were lunar, just like the months used to be lunar. You used to have lunar months. One day people won't even know what you're talking about, lunar months. They just, all they know is 30, 31 days.
Right.
But right now, we know and we still hold on to a little bit of it. But they got to remember, when they done away with the month, the moon month, they done away with the 4 weeks that fit inside that month.
Correct. Well, now I want to ask you a question. Why would there be an anti-lunar understanding from the scriptures? How could people read the scriptures honestly and get an anti-lunar belief system out of there?
They can't. What's happened, Brother Buddy, the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, he prophesied of a future change that they would think to change times and laws. Well, at that time, Daniel was keeping the correct Sabbath. He was head man around there, and all, especially in religious matters, under four different kings.
Mm-hmm.
Even Nebuchadnezzar got converted, and he worshipped the mighty one of Daniel. But anyhow, he prophesied that there was going to be a change. Well, today people are keeping Saturday Sabbath. And even the Catholic Church acknowledged that Saturday is the seventh day, but they keep the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the change at? If Daniel was keeping Saturday Sabbath, then shouldn't they be keeping something else? Or maybe they could say, well, we the false teachers and we switching over or something. I don't know.
Well,
listen to this. But what he said, but there's going to be a change. And of course, in Lamentation 2 and 6, he came and said that he would cause his Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. Well, if Daniel kept them, and he kept all the way up there, and they're still keeping them, where were they forgotten at? We know they forgot them, had to make them known to Moses coming out of Egypt. We know that, I know that when the temple was destroyed in A.D. 70 by Titus, that they were keeping lunar Sabbath from the writings of a man that was an eyewitness called Philo. He was a Levite priest, and he kept lunar Sabbath. And he was chosen to lead a delegate to Rome over the persecution, and he kept the same week of Sabbath. There's no controversy between the Jews and the Messiah, the Sabbath the Messiah and his disciples kept. So whatever Sabbath Philo kept, they would have kept, because he was chosen to lead a delegate for the persecution of the Jews. And if he hadn't have been keeping the same Sabbath, they wouldn't have chosen for this important event. So we know that Philo kept them. And after the destruction of the temple, they're keeping Saturday Sabbath now. So that's the change that Daniel prophesied. And it just all in harmony. It's just trying to get somebody to take a look at it. It's one of the most provable doctrines in Scripture and one of the hardest to get people to take an honest look at.
Well, that's the truth, Brother Arnold. And, you know, me and you have spent years and years and years trying to get people to see this great formula that has been cast aside. And the very formula that we are advocating is the biblical formula. And in Daniel 7:25, that you alluded to, that they would think to change times and laws, it was the Gregorian calendar. It was the Caesar Augustus. It was the people that entered in and changed the times. And if you look at if the Jews, let's say the Jews that were keeping the correct Sabbath, if they were keeping it correctly back then, and it was on a Saturday, let's say, and then here come the Romans and said, no, it's on Sunday. The fact is, nothing changed here, like you say.
No, that's why I said they acknowledge what Julius Caesar made the change, because he booted the moon. Genesis 1:14, talking about the time and seasons, he booted the moon out of the picture, and that thought to change times, and they put everything on strictly solar.
There you go. There you go. That is the worship of the sun, which is alluded to in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, where that they were offering cakes to the Queen of Heaven and doing these things, and they had their backs to Yahweh, and they were facing the east, which is the rising of the sun. They were sun worshipers, Brother Arnold. They changed this, and the temptation, even for Israel back then, was to go with the solar instead of staying with the solar lunar.
Yes, he takes both. He said, let them, talking about the sun and the moon, be for days and years, signs and seasons. Like I said earlier, the sun controls the days and years. The moon don't. But the moon appoints the seasons. Psalms 104:19 said he appointed the moon for seasons. And the weekly Sabbath is a season. Now, the moon don't do the years and the days, but it does the Sabbath. She takes care of the appointment, and he takes care of the days and years.
That's correct.
Well, they're a team. They're a team.
Well, now, here's what they did change from, Brother Arnold. And you've been on the theme all night long with Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 1 and 2. It says, in the new moon, that is a day to worship, and then you work 6 days, and then you keep a Sabbath, which would be on the eighth day. Now, we've established that. Now, that's what they got away from.
Yes.
They got away from that principle or that pattern, and they went to something different, which is strictly solar. And by going to the Saturday and the Sunday examples, both the Jews and the so-called Gentiles left the plan of Yahweh and the Hebrew principles of the truth, and they changed the truth into a lie, and they worshiped the creature more than the Creator. And it, as it says in Isaiah 14, that Satan desired to sit upon the times and the seasons and orchestrate them and control them. And, brother, he brought it in by a solar calendar, which they strictly changed to Saturday and Sunday, and they changed the truth of Yahweh's laws of the lunar, keeping the new moon and working 6 days and keeping the Sabbath on the eighth day, and working 6 days and keeping it on the fifteenth day, and then working 6 days and keeping it on the 22nd, working 6 days and keeping it on the 29th. Brother Arnold, that's the pattern. That's the example. Time after time, the eighth day is the principle that Yahweh said would be a holy rest day, and it's throughout the scriptures, and no one can deny it, and we're defending it tonight and recognizing that Yahweh's honor is to be restored.
That's right. You know, people tell me, they say, well, Brother Arnold, everybody knows Sunday's the first day of the week and Saturday's the seventh day of the week. How could so many people be wrong? I said, you need to be worried about how so many people could be right on something. I said, Bible's broad as the way.
Amen, brother.
You know, leads to trust and nerves. And they say, well, y'all just a bunch of false prophets. Well, the Bible said there'd be many false prophets and deceive many. But how many do you see like us? We don't fit the category of many.
No, we do not, Brother Arnold. We're about to run out of time. I want you to give your website and give your telephone number for anybody that needs some explanations on this deep mystery of the creation time.
We got a website, and it's called Lunar Sabbath, lunarsabbath.org. I'm sorry, I got one like that too, but go to lunarsabbath.info, I-N-F-O, lunarsabbath.info, and you can call me for free literature, posted page, everything won't cost you a damn. The error code is 770, numbers 483-8542, that's 770-483-8542.
Oh, that's Brother Arnold's number. Now you need to write that down. Remember his website. He's got a great website. It's just loaded with valuable information. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back Wednesday night, and we're going into the Pentecost count. You don't want to miss a Wednesday night with Brother Arnold and myself. We're going to get into the count, the proper times, the examples, both nature and scriptural. And Brother Arnold, we're going to prove that the times are kept very different than the basic Pentecost count of the understanding of people today. Not only did they change the Sabbath, they also changed the date of Pentecost, and we're going to prove that.
That's right. That's why Pentecost proves lunar Sabbath. I'm excited to tell them about that.
Amen, brother. We're going to have a wonderful show. We don't want anybody to miss it.
I've been writing for 10 years now. I got all my notes. I just need to put them in order and get it out there.
Yeah, I've been encouraging you to get it in booklet form, and we're going to try to get that done within this year so everybody can have an example. We already have a little booklet, but Brother Arnold, we could write a major book on this subject because it's so vast. And you know, it's what we call restoring the breach. You remember your message used to be the restorer of the breach, and the breach is because people have crept in unaware and changed the times and the laws. Well, my telephone number tonight is area code 423-626-2172. And if you would like to write me, my P.O. Box is 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, and the zip is 37824. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come when you've got to have this, the truth, Brother Arnold, just stand on the straight way. The Bible said straight is the way and the narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next Wednesday night. This is coming up this week. We'll see you Wednesday night, and the time will be at 10 o'clock. Join Brother Arnold, myself, and you'll hear some interesting dialogue on the proper count to Pentecost. May Yahweh richly bless you and keep you.